If you listen to the first, how many listened to the radio broadcast this morning? How many listened to the first part of the radio broadcast this morning? It sounds like three people were preaching, but I don't know what happened. There was really two or three echoes on that broadcast for the first 10 minutes, and I went in the house and came back out, and it was normal. I don't know what, it sounded like a reverb or something up there. I was impatiently waiting for Judy to get the camper ready to put together, and I was out front, and this guy walked by the camper, and I started talking to him, and I asked him where he was from. He's from Michigan. I said, "You're leaving today?" He said, "Yeah, I gotta get my wife back." His wife had an inoperable brain tumor. They operated 19 months ago and basically told him after that, when the cancer came back, that it was over. And so I asked him, can I pray with you? And he said, yes. So we just stopped and had prayer for this lady. Name is Brenda. If you think of Brenda, what a blessing that would be as God heals her. And I was thinking about the message last week as I got done praying, and that is, thy kingdom come, bringing God's kingdom to earth. In a few moments, we're going to look at thy will be done, but I want to just, for many of you who weren't here last week, where were you all? I was lonely. I just want to take a couple minutes and, again, realize God is omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, he's eternally existent, he's immutable, he doesn't change. He's totally dependent on himself. The manifestations of his kingdom is glory, the presence of God, his love. There's no evil. Complete absolute forgiveness, no sickness, disease, hatred, bitterness, death. It's eternal life. The kingdom moves around thanksgiving, praise, and worship from us here on earth. We need to understand, as this kingdom is represented, that we can picture us, if we would go back in our minds and not stay there, but picture ourselves walking with Jesus. The kingdom has freedom and deliverance, salvation, restoration. Not only the people, but also the earth to be restored. The transformation videos from all over the world shows how the produce increased, the fish came back, the animals came back. Everything was built back to where it should be. And the Bible says that the earth groans waiting the coming of the Lord, basically. The earth is groaning. Because the earth even knows that when Jesus Christ steps his feet back on this earth, it's going to be restored. In the restoration videos, as we mentioned last Sunday, the jails closed in these communities, many of these communities. They no longer needed a jail. Massive signs and wonders and miracles. Cities with no hospitals, no need. Massive revivals awakening in countries and cities and states coming to Christ. Children 2 or 3 or 4 years old, like in Pensacola, praying for people and seeing them healed and touched. The church in America kind of puts our children aside and not expecting too much from them. We need to expect more. How about drug-free cities? How about no suicides? How about massive prosperity? And so this wasn't just a simple prayer that we just say, well, Christ is just telling us how to pray. He's asking for us to ask him to let your kingdom come. Invade this world with your presence. Invade this world with your power and your glory and your might, so that people just doesn't see a church building. They don't see just a group of people. They see a group of people anointed by the presence of God, living in a relationship with Jesus. Wouldn't it be great if everybody quit talking about their church and talked about their Savior? Come on. You missed a chance to say amen. There's some time coming to America when we're going to realize it's not the church. Fact is, most churches hinder God from coming. It's about the people of God doing the work of God, walking in the will of God. You need to appreciate what the worship team is doing here as they're leading us into the presence of God. Isn't it amazing? There's very seldom you hear something about COC. It's mostly about God. Well, I'm going to turn the page. There it is. New day. Thy will be done. How many of you ever really asked God about his will? Was that before you made your mind up to do or after? The word will is very interesting. Because if you look it up in the Greek, it means a design, a purpose, or a plan. If you're asking God about his will for your life, you're asking God about his design, his purpose, and his plan. We get all blown out of shape about asking God, where do you want me to work and where do you want me to live? I mean, sure, God loves you enough to make that important, but he's more interested in what you are. Can I move to Sisseton? I'd like sometime God to say, I don't care. Should I buy a new car? I don't care. I wish you would have said no. And so we come to a place where we get all wrapped up about God's will, but are we wrapped up about God's will in the right perspective? How many of you know right now, at this very moment, you're in the perfect will of God? Whoa. How many would like to know? You know, in real estate, it's location, location, location. How many know that? The first 3 points about buying real estate is location. The first 3 points about God is obey, obey, obey. Pretty amazing. Because we cannot be in God's perfect will for our lives if we're walking in disobedience. It's just impossible. Anybody going to say amen this morning? Or are you going to wait till I hit you on the head with my Bible? No violence. No violence in the kingdom. Wait a minute. The kingdom suffereth what? And the what? Take it by force? Okay, you're out of order, brother. What is God's will for us? Whatever location you're in, whatever job you're doing, I believe there's about 4 things, and I could probably get 6 or 7, but I'm not going to preach that long. Many, many, many years ago, Larry Lee preached a message, wrote a book, based on the Lord's Prayer. I can't find the book. I wish I could have. I would have read it again. In that book, his premise was, come thy kingdom, be done thy will. Come thy kingdom, be done thy will. God's will for each one of us is that we would be vessels of his love and spreading it wherever we go. Look at me. It's hard for you to walk in a negative, bad attitude and draw people to Jesus. I'll let that sink in for a while. It's hard for us to go around with a scowl on our face and double dog daring people to get close to us so we can smack them one and let people know how much Jesus loves them. And so throughout the word, the message is about God's love. I got a lot of scripture. If we get to them, we get to them. If we don't, I'll give them to you. I may take a Wednesday night and teach this down the road. Ephesians chapter 2. How many of you are absolutely radically convinced that as you sit here right now, God loves you? What? If you believe God loves you, stand. I'm not going to take this anymore. Okay, you may be seated. Stand up, Martha. God bless you. Give her a hand. Tell people to quit tattling, Martha. They're like my little grandson. Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, in verse 4, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. For God so what the world? Loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. 1 John 3. The Bible tells us, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, as has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope purifies himself. How can God manifest his love to these present communities, and this world after he sent his son to the cross, unless people see it in people? How can people recognize God loves them, and they should by looking at the cross? But there are millions of people in America that don't look at the cross and don't believe the cross. The only way they're going to hear about the love of God and see the love of God, and keep in mind, a visual sometimes is more important than words, when they see Christ's love in us. That means that there comes a time in our lives where we have to let the past be past, The hurts be gone. The pain of situations we were in go. And come to a place, regardless of what happens to me, I'm going to love God and I'm going to love people who are created in the image of God. Love the way you're shouting. That's not hard. Do you realize you use less muscles to smile than you do to frown? And our church isn't really active, so smile. You don't want to use up that energy to frown. And so, yes, Curtis, you came for all this morning. And so as you go around and people see you, especially today, how long has it been since you've been grocery shopping? You standing behind people who faint when they get their everything rung up? It's nice gas drop 23 cents here. Appreciate that. But when it was $4, there wasn't too many happy people around. And so we have an opportunity to share the love of God with people. And sometimes, for some reason, Christians forget that non-Christians aren't going to heaven. And we need to spread the love of God. Remember, as you're smiling at people and loving people, Jesus still said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And how do people get to heaven? There's only one way. God's will, number two. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, 9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's look at this. Do you realize there's something God can't do? You say, whoa, wait a minute. There is something God can't do, and he won't do. Because to do it, he'd have to violate his word. And that is take people to heaven who want to live for the devil. To take people to heaven who will not receive him as their savior. To take people to heaven who reject his plan of salvation. We need to get a hold of that. Because almost every time there's a suicide or there's an unnatural death in our community, somebody will come and ask me, are they in heaven? And my answer to that is, were they a Christian before they died? If they're not a Christian ready to go to heaven before they're died, there's nothing that anyone can do to get them there after they're dead. I know that's hard preaching, but it's fact. God desires everyone to go to heaven. He never created hell for mankind. It was for Satan and his angels. But God does not override that choice you make. We need to see the seriousness of people who are lost without Christ. And I was thinking about that last night for a little bit, and then this morning, I went to Romans chapter 9. And I kind of touched the heart of Paul. And I want to read it to you so that you see. And Paul writes this, I tell the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. Paul cried out for the Jewish nation. If you look at chapter 10, brethren, my heart's desire in verse 1 and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, because they're ignorant of God's grace. There's something we have to get a hold of. God does not get excited about people dying and going to hell. God gets excited about people coming to Christ. People giving their life to Jesus. People bowing their knees to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. That's what stirs his heart. That's what makes him excited. How do we know that? The Bible says that angels rejoice over what? One coming to Christ. One person. We need to feel that passion again for the unbeliever. We need to look for that opportunity to touch their lives. I want you to picture something again, not walking with Jesus this time, but people that you've led to Christ coming through that door on a Sunday morning. People that you have touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ, walking through that door, coming in and joining the worship team as they worship. That's like heaven, folks. That's like heaven. And that's where God wants his church to be. God's will, God's design, God's plan, God's purpose for your life is that believers are conformed to the image of Christ. I like that. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. There's that word purpose. What does the word will mean? Design, purpose, or plan? To those who called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Conformed or transformed by the Spirit of God into the image of Christ. You may not comprehend what I'm saying right now, but think about it. There's a call from God to be different. We get so concerned about blending in. There's a call from God to blend out. Seemed like I read somewhere, come out from among them and be what? And so God is calling us to be designed after the image of Christ. You may look at your life and you may not be totally thrilled with the Christian walk. I can tell you how to make a difference in that walk. Learn how to say no. So somebody wants you to do something or go somewhere or be something you're not in Christ, say, no, I'm not doing that. It's God's will that you pattern your life after Him. It's God's will that our design and our mold is Christ. You don't have to conform to this church or any church. You conform to what Christ has called you to be, and that's conform to the image of God. We walk that out over and over and over again. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is what God calls you. And He called His people in the Old Testament the same thing in Deuteronomy. But in 1 Peter 2:9, He says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." You are. You are called by God to represent and reflect Him. We can't do that without being conformed to the image of Christ. We can't do that without walking this thing out. We want His presence, amen? We want Him to invade this place. But our responsibility, as Kirk was mentioning this morning, is to welcome Him. What's the greatest welcome He can get? Is people who are living their lives according to the Word of God. People who are inviting Him to come because their life has been set aside for Him. They have given it all to Him. It's not about their will. It's not about what they want to do. It's not about how they want to live. It's not even about what they believe. It's about their relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're walking this life out for God. And that's amazing. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse number 9. How many think Paul had some insight into what God expected from us? How many think Paul had some insight in what God expected? You're not talking no more. Andy, would you hit that mute button? It must have come on. For this reason, in verse 9 of chapter 1 of Colossians, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Isn't that amazing? That you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, being fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. God wants each one of us to have insight, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge into God. What's really your will? And then as we pick up what that is, he wants us to walk it out step by step by step until we enter into glory. Now, how many of you, when you were children, obeyed your parents because you had to or because you wanted to? Everybody but Kirk, he did because he wanted to. No, I think the one on the other side of him would have been the compliant one. Now here's the deal with God. God gives you the choice. And some people don't want to obey him, but they do to some extent because they don't want to go to hell. And some people simply say, God, I just want to walk with you. I just want to live for you. I want to walk in your presence. When you come to a place of doing that, there is no life that is more exciting than living for Christ. You can walk without fear. You can walk without frustration. And you may say, but everything doesn't work out. He never said everything was going to work out. You see, we like to add our PSs to God's word. God, I'll serve you when everything works out and this happens and that happens. God said, wait a minute. That's not the issue. Because when you do that and we decide that we're going to walk it out our way, we're walking in rebellion. We love that word, don't we? How many have teenagers? How many have two-year-olds that think they're teenagers? I had breakfast with one on Friday morning. Two-year-old who just, well, forget it. I don't think he ever would have got out of the woodshed if he lived in my days. But God wants us to live being transformed by the Spirit and conformed to the image of Christ. You know, even the Sanhedrin, when they were going to punish the disciples, at least Peter and John, took notice that they'd been with Jesus. They had no good intent for those two guys. But they took notice that they'd been with Jesus. One more. Don't hear too much about this anymore after the ecumenical movement. God wants us to walk in unity with other believers. You might not like this, but look at me. There is no spiritual unity with people who don't know Christ. But we miss something in the church when we start putting down or we start resisting people who know Christ. And we look at them like we have it all, they have nothing. And we don't reach out to them. I want you to listen to the words that Jesus spoke before he went to the cross. In John 17. In verse number 20 of John 17, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Don't miss that. I want you to look at that for a moment. Do you think it's possible that many people in America don't believe in Jesus because there's such a disunity and factions in the body of Christ? That if you don't believe my way about this, and if you don't believe my way about that, and if you don't believe in predestination and election and everything else the way I do, then I can't fellowship with you. And there becomes an amazing disunity. And people look at Jesus as just some other cult figure sometimes. And Jesus said he must have known that time was coming. Of course he knew that time was coming. That the world may believe, Father, and that's who the you is there that you sent me. There becomes such a division, a parting of ways. I want you to understand something this morning. There's nothing, not church tradition, not church doctrine, not anything the church teaches that is comparable to the Bible except the Bible. Nobody said amen. Okay, Kirk, tomorrow we're writing new doctrine. Nothing. In fact, is God tells us in the Word to be careful of the philosophies and traditions of man. Look out for it. Run from it when they start bringing it up to equal with the Word of God. It's not. And so that causes a lot of division, a lot of separation, a lot of people not fellowshipping with one another because you don't believe the way I do and you don't accept this the way I do. What about accepting what Jesus said? What about living the life that Jesus talked about? What about coming together no matter who they are and sometimes even what they believe? And saying, if you believe in Jesus, I'm your brother and I'm your sister. Because Jesus is saying, I'm not praying for these 12 alone or this 120 alone. I'm praying for those who will believe on my name. He was talking about us. And the glory which you gave me, in verse 22, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you sent me and have loved me, have loved them as you have loved me. And have loved them as you have loved me. Going back to love for 1 minute. This may rock your world, may rock your boat. Can you accept the Father loves you as much as he loved Jesus? Isn't that what he says? You say, oh, you can't say it. Well, he said it. I didn't say it. I did say it after he said it. He said it first. He did it first. You have loved them as you have loved me. Come on, Martha, smile. I want you to think about that as you leave this morning. I'm not done yet, I'm sorry. Give you a wrong. Paul picks this up, this unity factor. In Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness, gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring means to make every effort. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. We don't work for division. We work for unity. We keep that spirit of unity in this place. Philippians chapter 2. And not only in this place when you go out with other Christians. Look at me for a moment. There's some history in this town. Forget it. Doesn't carry any weight today. Walk in peace. Greet our brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowship with them. Love them. Forget the history. I believe there's a few churches in this town that's trying to get the presence of God here. It's not going to happen here only. If it does, it's not going to be a major move of God. It's got to transform this whole city. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. He didn't tell you to stop thinking. Okay? He's not saying, fulfill my joy and stop thinking. Just bring your thoughts where we come to have the same thoughts about Christ. We think the same things. Whatever honest, whatever good report, whatever is pure, whatever is holy. Think on these things. Amen? Start putting it together. The most dangerous thing you can do is let your mind run wild. Some people, it ran so wild, it ran away. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. God is up to something special. I never want to come to Luke 17, 18, 19, 20, wherever that is, where he says this. He says, you didn't recognize the day of my visitation. You say, why are you preaching this way? Because I want the best for your family, for this body, and for this community. We've lived in this community for 30 years. It's now mine. Nobody knows that yet. And it's yours through Christ. This is not somebody else's community. The community you live in is not somebody else's. It's not somebody else going to do something. Somebody else is not going to change it. Most people don't know there's an issue except money is kind of lost his value. And so to get the communities where God wants them, we have to do it. And to do that is going to take an invasion of heaven. And how do we get the invasion of heaven? By walking out his will. and we start doing it. We start living it. We come to that place where this community can only be changed by God. At times, we must be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." At other times, we must shout it from the housetops. At times, we look at people in the eye and say, "That's not how God wants you to live." We dare not be afraid of people rejecting us. We must walk this out in love. The same love that Jesus walked in. Not afraid, not ashamed. Not wondering, how can I leave my friends? I love them. Don't worry about it. You won't have to leave them. Start out with, they'll leave you. But I believe with all my heart that we can have an invasion of heaven and are beginning to have an invasion of heaven. And it's really up to us. Stand with me, will you?